Oh, it's so nice to be back at the Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater here in Hollywood, California. Our triumphant return back to our cozy little nest and our loyal Armenians. We've been all over the country. I'm not sure what we learned, but I do know that it's very nice to be sitting here again with you people. Harmontown is finally back in session in Hollywood, California. Put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yo.
I may be rapped out. I don't know. Fuck you, guy that applauded. I'm a rap master. That's why I'm rapped out, because I perfected the art, not because it was obnoxious and tiresome. It is really, really oddly comfortable to be back. It's really weird. We tried to do this shot. The guy doing the documentary, wanted to do this shot where I would walk down the sidewalk outside Nerd Melt, walk through the door into an empty comic book store, just keep walking, and that it would be perfectly timed with Jeff bringing me up. So it would be like
Did I fuck it up?
I don't know. I don't know if you fucked it up. I have no idea. It's fucked up. Like,
were you standing in the doorway for like 10 seconds?
Oh yeah. I don't know what.
Should we try it again?
Well,
go back outside. Just yell at me, Neil. This is fucking bullshit. Yeah, welcome home. Oh, we're back, everybody. Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is once again in session. Put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Hey! Yeah. I walked from the sidewalk to the back. It was seamless.
Wow. Dan, where were you? We missed you. I was in the green room. You left for a while.
Jeff, I do what I always do before a show. I went and stood outside of 7-Eleven.
But you climb up on top of the fire escape and stand there like Batman for a while.
Yeah, I stare at my fist and talk about the darkness of the city. And then when the mood takes me, I clamber down and I just make a beeline and I just hope to God that you're starting the show at that particular time.
How could you possibly have any idea that I'm starting the show? I'm doing that just hoping that you hear the frequency of audience joy.
The truth is, Jeff, there are parallel universes where you're in the middle of introducing the show and I just walk up and tell you to fuck off. Like I just interrupt you.
So we just got lucky once again.
Yeah, Harmontown is a show that is not written, therefore it is written by God. And he doesn't make mistakes. You don't punch him up. N-word. His draft is final, man. That's all you got to do is do nothing at all, and you are doing the work of a master. What if I get really serious about that and told you the good news? And I am feeling very spiritual lately. I was going on the tour, and also it's I was a bad friend for not listening to it in the first place, but I've been really, really diving into Duncan Trussell lately, and he is amazing. If you every Lutheran bone in my body, every superstitious fiber of my being makes me want to knock on every piece of wood in the room and say, "I please, the universe, this isn't how it sounds." But in all seriousness, there's no other way to express this. Like, he makes testicular cancer sound fun. Like he. he's so fucking cool. Like you're just like, oh man, I could get cancer. That would be no problem. you almost want to get it. Like listening to him because he's so cool.
I think he puts a very beautiful, like heroic, funny face on it, but still like. Radiation's a giant bummer. You wouldn't last a minute.
And he doesn't. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't at all. No, he doesn't deny any of that stuff, though. He doesn't say it's not a bummer. He's very emphatic about, embracing also the pain of life and acknowledging it for pain. And that's what's so fucking cool about him. God damn it, I want to make love to him. But listen to his podcast. It's great. He's a sister of Harmontown. A sister podcast. I'm gonna get a drink. What do you want to talk about, Jeff?
I want to talk about. I actually do have some questions because we came back and we did this tour, and there was an unanswered question that really. I mean, if you answered it one on one with the filmmakers, I wasn't there. There seemed to be the eternally unanswered question of what the point of it all was. And you said that as you returned and you came back to LA at the big Egyptian theater show. That you learned nothing.
Right. Because I still hadn't, but I realized tonight in the green room, I actually finally figured it out. Like, and it's the dumbest thing in the world because it's right under your nose and it's sort of so generic. The entire time we were out there, we were doing these shows. We were doing performances. Shows can be good or bad. Performances are you know, oh, that was a good show, that was a bad show. Oh, the show's not going so good. You talked about Chevy Chase in that show. Oh, it was a season 4 premiere. Was he going to talk about that? Oh, so like it was a performance. Like it can go one way or another. And so you're thinking about it as a performance beforehand. No matter how much you try to not think about it, you know, and not pre-write anything and stuff. Then we went out in a bus that said, like, show's coming to town, and went to Portland and went, hello, Portland, we're doing a show. I don't know why we're Southern when we do the show. But it's because we're like this Wild West show. We're out there like, we're doing a show here. Now we're doing a show there. Now we're doing a show here. And the whole time we were doing shows everywhere, we kept saying, both in our hearts and our brains and out loud with our mouths, we kept saying, at some point we're going to go back home. Now, when we say home, we don't mean me in my underwear watching, Die Hard 2. Like we mean, like, this. So if this is home, then this isn't a show anymore. And so the transformative thing, probably for the audience's lack of benefit, is that I don't give a shit anymore. Like. Patton Oswalt was right. Like, I came back. Like, I was in the green room, and I was like, "So, what do we? What?" The thought of it as a show did not enter my head. It's such a tee up for some critic from the audience to yell out, "Like, start thinking of it as a show now, please." Yeah.
But that
$10, my friend, it's still green.
It's better when you just like my favorite show was Salt Lake City, where there was 62 people, and we brought a Mormon chick up on stage, and we talked
that was
about,
awesome.
And it was like it felt like this. That was the closest we had to Meltdown. Was this small little comedy club. With iron girders here and there, and it was a small little room, but you didn't need another person in there, and it really was like the most communicative and together. And that's I like the show here because it's become this little revival tent, and we start meeting people, and like when we connect with that night's audience, and it's cool to go to Salt Lake City where there's you don't have any expectations, like fucking we're gonna hit Salt Lake, baby, the city of lights. And but that was my favorite one because that was the most like this. I think when You're not Wayne Brady. You're not going to get up there and sing a big song and do a tap dance. And Dan, it's time you fucking own the fact that you're never going to be Wayne Brady, man.
For those of you listening, my expression is deeply and sincerely hurt.
All right, well, let's find out if you are Wayne Brady, you know?
Should I do an impression of the Clumps? That's what I saw him do that once. Oh. I'm Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady. Hanging out. Gonna hang out with Wayne Brady.
Now you're Wayne Brady. You're gonna be Wayne Brady.
Right? I am Wayne Brady.
Oh, okay. Then why are you hanging out with him?
Because I love myself. I'm Wayne Brady. Gonna eat some gravy. Put it on my potatoes. I don't hate hoes. I love them. And I love singing in different styles with accents. I'm not really familiar with his work.
It was worth a try.
I saw him in the Chappelle thing. It was awesome. We'll edit all this out. That's my new mantra.
No, that stays. That fucking stays.
Anyways, let's get to the goods, man. Let's get to the confessional goods. Dig some shit out of me, Jeff. That's the thing that I
learned. All right, here's the thing.
Going to town. Hi, Portland. Hey, Portland. I looked on Wikipedia. Your town has a tall building and a weather phenomenon called the Borealis Fragoris. Your sports team is the Cougars. Small talk, Jeff. Small talk.
Right.
Couldn't wait to get back here and get deep. Talk to me about my butt, my dick, and stuff.
But why couldn't you get deep with those people?
No, that was my mistake. That's not Portland's mistake. I'm just saying, going out there, that's what happened to me. I was like, oh, hi, Portland. Thanks for having me in your town, Portland. Oh, I love you, Portland. Oh, hi, Austin. Oh, would you like a mint, Austin? Trivia fact, the cowboy hat was invented here. It's like, you know, and then, oh, I fucked your mama in a cowboy hat. Oh, what do you think about that? Jeff, it's not real. I want to get real.
And then
I couldn't wait to get back here and get real. These are my 50 Shades of Grey sadomasochistic partners. These are the safety pin nipples. These are the hot wax people.
Here's my concern. This behavior that you're showing right now was my concern towards the end, that Harmontown was a very dangerous thing for you. Because you do this show and you go, I would talk about my hemorrhoid, and I'm talking about fucking your mama, and I dare you to not like me.
Right.
And then after the show, everybody comes up and likes you and wants you to sign a thing and sign your image or sign your book or do this, and you find out possibly a very dangerous thing for you, the idea that you can't do something wrong,
right?
And then on the tour bus, you started to kind of Hulk out a couple times, because it's called Harmontown. You called it Harmon Country.
Yeah.
And there's images of you everywhere, and there's all these shirts, and there's pins, and there's books, and it's just this giant narcissist jacuzzi that you just settle into, and you just sit there
definitely had the upper hand in fights with my girlfriend.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Harmontown, read the sign. Population me. It's me.
Well, my one prediction was right. You fuckers fought a lot on that trip. I mean, and then again, you might have. Maybe that's as much as you fight when I'm not with you all the time. I've never been with you almost all the time, kind of day and night. We were around each other quite a bit. But you guys, wow.
We like to go at it.
Sometimes on stage.
She's my tempestuous, fiery Irish muse.
And now she. It's a, the thing that blew my mind. We were in Pittsburgh. I don't know if anybody heard that one.
The ladies love Pittsburgh. And the guys are like, he was right in the middle of a fart joke.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I thought Pittsburgh set the women's rights movement back about 75 years. Because she came out and she had been crying about a bit that you had been doing about fucking a young girl, and it was totally a bit. And then she announced that you called her the C word, and then the show came to just a screech. Just to a total stop. And then at the end of that, she said, so can I move in with you? And like, I was like, wow!
I thought that was, yeah, that made me not ask her to move in with me for like 2 extra weeks.
But then you end the tour by asking her to move in with you.
Yeah, that's why I said 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was going to ask her any minute, and then she fucking said it. Like, you know, I can't say yes when someone... We were thinking the same thing at the same time. We're in love with each other. Deal with it. We're soulmates. And Jeff, you're great. You're very cool. You're in your suit, you know, and you have this armor against the world, you know. You're the emotionless,
it masks
like
to deep pain, Dan.
Even keel guy, you know. He likes his Fernet Branca, and he likes to watch the History Channel. And every city we went to, he went to a bookstore and bought an obscure book, and then went to a bar and read it.
He sounds awesome.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed to hate it.
Does he have a sister?
You know, and you're fine. You're the master of your domain. Oh, speaking of which, I haven't jerked off in like 3 days.
For 3 days?
Like it might be 4 now. I made this decision. I went on Duncan Trussell's podcast. And we talked about jerking off. And
wait, how did you connect that dot from talking about how awesome I am to
master,
not jerking off?
Master of
you heard the word master and you thought about your dick.
No. He reads too many books. He doesn't watch Seinfeld. Master of my domain is a Seinfeld like line, in reference to the episode where they all tried to not jerk off.
Okay.
I'm 4 days into what they call on Reddit no fap.
The word fap is a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's a huge
don't
bummer.
Don't say fap.
It's so
do not fucking say fap under any circumstances. Yeah, don't type it. Don't read it. Don't fucking
It is the worst. Like I was introduced to that word when we first started doing Community, and there was an interview with Alison Brie and in the Onion or something, and then there was a comment section, and there was like a comment that said like fap 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 fap, and I was like, what is that? Oh.
Boo.
It made me. Imagine your Hawaiian shirt and your surgical gloves and your. I can.
Wait, what did you just reveal about yourself? Then?
That I've seen the movie. What was it called? Hardwired or whatever.
Okay. Wow.
It's a 90s
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, don't conjure up imagery for me. Don't make me part of your world.
No onomatopoeia in sexuality. Don't ask black people time travel questions.
Right.
No onomatopoeia in sex.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's it. We found our constitution. We did it. It took us a whole tour to figure that out.
Go deep, Jeff. Come on, I want to reveal something. Like, that's what the show is. Like, come on, hit me in the quick. I want to talk about something real.
Okay. Do you watch the Grammys? Dan, don't cry.
I didn't. But,
fuck the Grammys too. Fuck it all.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I really feel like, I don't know. I wanted to Barbara Walters you tonight, but we have guests we want to bring up. But then I thought, like, I'm not going because I don't even know what the angle would be. I really feel that there was an opportunity. Not that you're going to go out there and not that you're Walt Whitman and you're going to go find out where you lived and what you lived for and shit. But you would come back with just go like, oh. That's why. Or this is what's important to me. This is what Harmontown is. This is what... I mean, we learned little details and stuff like that. But I feel like there really is a reason you did it. There was some reason you stood after every show and met those people. There was something driving you to do that in the first place. That was more than, oh, it's a birthday present to myself. I think there really is a subconscious... desire and drive there. I don't know that you even know what it is.
No, I don't, Jeff. I don't.
Are you being serious?
No, I don't. I don't. It has something to do with connecting with people. And I think I was looking forward to getting back here because this is the place where people, you know, we would go to certain places where you couldn't hear the people, but they had listened to the podcast, so they know that if Maddie here in the front row, whose name I know because you can see everybody in the audience and you can hear everybody in the audience, if she pipes up about, if she goes like, that reminds me of pants. Then I go, I'm sorry, what the fuck are you talking about, Maddie? Why did you say that? It reminds you of pants. And then she'll say, like, well, because I love pants, and you just said Christmas, and Christmas is good, and pants are good. Well, okay, great. Well, do you want to come up here and talk about your fucking Christmas pants, Maddie?
I wonder if anybody out here, I mean, this is a tough question. I don't want Adam Goldberg to storm the stage when I ask this. I wonder if anybody, because there, how many of you, and I'm not like just like asking for like a round of applause, but like how many of you listen to all of them, like all the podcasts? Don't raise your hands.
Oof.
You have to clap. All right. So I wonder, like, maybe one of these people would have a better like overall perspective on what that actually was, if it was anything at all, if it succeeded in anything.
You're really begging for Adam Goldberg to storm the stage.
I certainly am not, sir.
Okay. Maddie, did you listen to all those shows?
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to come up and give us a little report?
Hello, Maddie. Come on up on stage.
You're motherless tonight. Your mother's not here. She's all grown up.
Hey.
Maddie is a young child that used to come to the show with her mother. That is now you're in college.
I am.
Everything's cool. All right. Yeah. I feel less guilty now.
Sure. I thought you'd feel that way.
Saying the things I say in front of you.
What are you studying in college?
I'm looking into media studies.
Who? Media studies?
Yeah.
Yeah. What school?
Occidental.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This sounds a little racist.
Apologies.
All right. So what's your take on the what the tour? Anything? Say it. I can handle anything now. I'm a master.
You declared yourself God at the last show.
And in this one. And every day forth. I am God.
I think... Maddie, just sorry to interrupt, but I really think that you're in a dangerous psychological place right now.
Or whatever the opposite of dangerous is. Safe? Doesn't feel safe, so I guess it's probably dangerous.
Yeah, I think you're closer to being Hans Gruber than John McClane now.
Yeah. You know who else was in a dangerous psychological place?
Don't say Jesus.
God.
Okay.
Because he was nothing at the beginning of everything, and it bummed him out so much he had to explode into somethings.
Are you saying you're going to explode?
He hasn't jerked off for 3 days.
It's coming for you.
Are you going to create a universe of jizz in this place?
Jesus.
Sorry, Maddie.
She's
how
in college
you?
Now, but she's
18.
Still a kid.
Okay.
All right, Maddie, what's your take?
Well, I think you definitely exceeded in becoming God in your own mind. I think the more you met people and the more people were in the audience, you took on that God role. And
What's that guy doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing, dude?
He's typing on his phone.
Are you tweeting his quotes?
Well, no. Are you
going to post a Vine?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to terrify you.
Yes, you did. You did mean to.
So what are you doing, absolutely.
Do you have a hand like mine?
But then,
oh, you do. You actually does. Okay, I'm not God yet.
But then when you found out that he was putting up a Vine image, like a GIF of you doing something, you're like, oh, that's cool. Keep going.
Okay, fine. Yeah. As long as it's not of Duncan Trussell. All right. Okay, continue, Maddie. Sorry, there was somebody that was not,
not bowing, not scraping, not worshiping at the altar.
Yeah, he was tweeting and fleeting and scooping.
Dangerous, dangerous territory. Did you learn anything about Dan or about Harmontown throughout that journey? Or was it just kind of a linear waste of time?
I feel like he's revealed so much of himself in past podcasts, past tweets, past life, that he just, like, anything he said on tour didn't really surprise me. Like, he could have been talking about butts and cocks and dicks and
better
whatever.
Scurry. When race. You take me out in the serving. Sorry.
I mean, you could have ranted about race for half an hour and, like, wanted every person in the audience to kill themselves because they felt bad, but I wasn't surprised if that... I wouldn't have been surprised if that happened.
What was your...
Was there a real
highlight or really low light in any of the shows that kind of, like, surprised you?
Well, you're talking to the person who has, like, an 80-year-old's memory here. Like, I'm digging right now to remember things, and it's not going well.
Oh, good.
Why do you have an 80-year-old's memory?
That's a great question. I don't remember the things I do 2 days ago, and I should probably get it checked out.
Oh.
All right, talk about cookies then.
I was jealous of young people because I thought you remembered everything.
No, I get surprised when you remember my name every time. Like, I don't remember things, people I meet. So thank you.
Well, you're kind of a pain in the ass, so. Yeah, it's a mnemonic device. It's like, yeah, oh boy, there's Maddie.
I don't show up every time.
No.
I don't come every time.
All right, thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Maddie.
We're
almost there. We're getting there. We're digging.
You know, Jeff, the show's not about the show. There's no show.
The show's about you.
Get to the show.
Maybe it's foolish of me to even think that there was supposed to be a purpose for it. That you should learn anything. You're such a story structure freak, and we kept drawing these things. Like, we're at the refusal of the call now. Now we're at the meeting with the goddess. Like, we kept doing that, but then we return home. Do you feel that you've created, like, that you've actually described a full circle story wise?
No,
because I feel like that Harmontown and the tour is, if there's a story structure element to that, that this will be the first quarter or the first half of a larger story.
Oh, well.
And this, and right now, coming home, this is the meeting with the goddess where you're back home into your safety net, and now the terrible shit happens. Or something really awesome happens.
Like, well, we get to reboot the show now. We get to decide what it's going to be about, you know?
What do you want? Because we can't... You, one thing's for certain. I think we
I want to connect with these people, Jeff. I want my
mamas.
Brain to merge with their brains. I want to feel what they feel.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
I feel like there's someone in the audience tonight that's recently written a book that will be released that needs to be plugged. He was an amazing entertainer. He's part of Donald Glover's little YouTube troupe, Derek Comedy. He's an old friend. He looks like Jesus more and more every day. Please, I feel his pain. I feel his brain. Welcome, DC Pearson.
Thanks, Dan. How's it going?
It's going good. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. It feels like kind of... I was saying backstage, like, I feel really good because I feel like we were out on the road and now I'm not worried at all. Like, Patton Oswalt's prediction was true. I'm not worried about doing the show here anymore. And I think that could be a bad thing. I was saying in the green room. I'm flirting with the idea that it's a bad thing.
That you didn't learn anything?
No, that I've become boring because I'm not driven by the anxiety of it being a good or a bad show. So now I'm sitting here.
You're the reason we don't see the character after the movie's over.
Exactly.
You're the reason the movie's over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we just stick around after the credits and then he's still just like, yep, still happy.
Yeah.
You know? The movie's over, unless he joins the Avengers.
Yeah.
After the credits. Maybe you join the Avengers, Dan. Is that tonight for you?
Yeah, I guess. Is there an Avengers for, like, just people with houses that like to take bubble baths?
If there is, we can go and buy it at this comic book store. They will have it if there is one. Avengers.
It was the Watchmen,
squad.
Right? Yeah. So you wrote a book.
I did.
It's called Crap
Kingdom. I like our Beastie Boys.
It's called Crap Kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's not out yet. It's not quite out yet.
It's going to be out on March 7th, but the reason that I'm promoting it before it's actually out is I'm trying to get people to pre-order it. So badly do I want them to pre-order it that if you pre-order it, which you can do on Amazon, you can do it at Pals Books, all these different places that sell books online, and you send me the receipt at crapkingdom@gmail.com, I will write your name into a custom rap song and or crap song.
Interesting. Get There's it? Some overlap
you do.
There. And you gave me an advanced copy, and it has so many. It's filled with pages. And
Dan, what was your favorite part of the book?
I just the binding. I love the concept of like there's separate pages, but then all of them are together.
I insisted on that. I was like, I know that most books are just bricks with scrawl on
it's
them.
So
but
meta.
I want individualized pages because I feel like that's where the medium's going.
The elevator pitch is that it's a guy who's beckoned to be the savior of a fantasy world. It's kind of a young adult novel. And it's Jeff. It's about a guy who gets beckoned to a fantasy world to be its savior. And it
sounds fascinating, Mr. Harmon.
The world's kind of crappy, and he doesn't take him up on it. He doesn't want to be part of the fantasy world.
So you've written a novel. It's a novel.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed by that. That's very cool. I think more people should do that.
I think everyone should do it.
No, I don't think everybody should.
Okay.
I think novelists should write novels. I think people given a gift.
So if you haven't already written a novel, you're not a novelist, so don't write a novel.
Write a novel.
But if you have already written a novel, continue doing so.
No, I mean people that have the gift for writing prose and for writing.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
You know, like. Don't
you don't think there should be like a weird Freaky Friday thing where like I become a sushi chef and then he becomes a novelist? He'd probably be
now.
Great.
Should Jiro write
a novel?
That's my new novel. My new novel is called Sushi Writer.
Is it true that they're called novels? Because at one point there was like a weird new thing to do. To
these
write
are
one of
novels.
These things. Holy shit! Yeah. Look at this thing.
Books used to be epistolary. There were letters.
There were letters back and forth.
But the idea of telling a story about a thing that happened to a person that was a very novel.
Do you think the first novel was just a lie? You know what I mean? It was a book that was ostensibly, like, was it just like not 50 Shades of Grey. What's it called? The guy that was on Oprah, Stephen Frey or whatever? What's that? Yeah, James Frey, yeah. That like, if he had been in medieval times, would he have been, like, the first novelist? And he's like, it's just a lie, but we can say I'm amazing if you want to. They do talk a lot, don't they, Dan?
Yeah. No, it's a town meeting, really, honestly. If you go out to any of these fuckers, it's like a whole show. What's your name?
Sean.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
For those of you
you handed him a mic. I
Handed it to him or put it in his face like a journalist? Like, what's your name, sir?
My name is Sean. I was just saying that, like, early Defoe novels, they always have, like, it's purported that, like, the person, like, you know, Robinson Crusoe sent in his journals and I'm Defoe, just, you know.
Early Willem Defoe
them
novels?
To you. Right.
So he was passing it off as actual history. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting, Jeff? And what's your name?
Scott.
See? they're all just people. When were you born? What year?
1989.
That's crazy.
Dan, what were you doing in 1989?
I was going like, I'm afraid to tell my friends I'm not into this Batman movie as much as they are. I wouldn't get that tattoo if I were you. They'll probably change the logo. If I'm them, I'm gonna change that logo. It looks like my mom looked at that Batman logo from the Tim Burton movie, and she said, "Is that teeth? It looks like yellow. If you look at the yellow parts, it looks like teeth.
Yeah.
Like a little teeth monster is gonna get you."
I like that guy said 1989, but when he said 19, it sounded like it was going to be a much older year. You know what I mean? He's like, 19? Like, it sounded like it was going
to
be...
To him, 89 is an older year. It's like, it was like, yeah, back then, air was new. To him, 89 was like the Stone Age. He's an
yeah,
asshole.
Yeah, get with it, old man.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody else all at the same time. What's your name?
Zach.
They
crazy.
All said Zach.
It's insane.
How could everyone's be named Zach? It's amazing.
Audience with one voice said,
oh, wait,
Zach.
Oh, sorry, we're electrocuting prisoners down the hall. Every once in a
Do
while.
Do you have Harmontown death row?
Yeah.
And you forgot to make the call because you were doing the show, so they didn't get the pardon, and now they're dead?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that call from Mr. Harmon. I know it's going to come through. He read, I learned law in prison. I put this packet together. I sent it to him. It's an airtight defense of why I wasn't there. He'll read it. Certainly.
I'm sorry, O'Malley. Your pardon hasn't come through.
Yeah. From my voice, you can tell my last name is O'Malley.
I was trying to soften up the racism a bit. Trying to sand off the edges.
I'm part of a demographic often sentenced to death. But bless my lucky charms.
We can call each other leprechauns.
I was friends with a kid named Sean Malarkey in grade school. His last name was Malarkey.
Malarkey.
It's crazy.
Hilarious. I know I said it before on Harmontown, but my teacher had a friend named Pat Mawini.
I told you about Jeremy Dick and
what?
Jeremy Dick. I told the story about Jeremy Dick. No, don't dissect it. His name was Jeremy Dick. That's no big deal.
Jeremy Dick.
But rumor had it his dad's name was Harry and his mom's name was Ima.
Probably not.
Probably not, right? So then I ran into him. I was in grade school with him. I told this story, right, on the podcast.
It might be pre-podcast. I don't know. Or maybe... Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay.
All right, fuck you guys. All right.
Well, how's it end? I
ran into him in a kitchen. I was like smoking a joint with him. It was like this kid that I knew in grade school. There's rumors. Jeremy Dick, you know, his dad's name is Harry and his mom's name is Ima. And I was like, that's not astronomically possible. Like that's not, that doesn't happen. You're not a hairy dick and you meet a woman and she says her name's Ima and you're like, let's get married. It just doesn't happen.
Have you read my script?
And then I ran into him and I'm standing in a kitchen. I'm probably like, I don't know, 18, 19 years old. Let's say 21 because I have a joint in my hand so that I don't know if you can get sued or whatever. But, and there's Jeremy Dick. He's this kid from you know, he's a grown man now. And I was passing a joint and I go, hey man, I always wanted to ask you, was your dad's name really Harry? And he said, yeah, yeah. And I said, now, okay, but your mom's name wasn't Ima, was it? And he said, my mom's dead, man.
Oh.
So therefore, she didn't have a name.
Yeah.
Also, did he ask you, hey, man, is it legal to smoke weed when you're 21?
Because you've been spreading that around.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what eggshells I'm trying to walk on with it. But it's not legality. It's what are you, 19, Maddie? What are you, 18? Oh Jesus. See, like, just don't do as I say, don't do as I do. That I say that I do.
You say do drugs though.
I say I did a lot of them and then I have a huge house. If you connect those dots, You that's your mistake that you've made.
But imagine how big his house could be if you didn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just can't get over the fact that we have Jesus and God on the same stage.
You've done great. I'm so sorry I completely ignored you while everyone murdered you.
Yeah, it's cool. Man, I wanted to know Breakfast Club better in that moment so I could launch into like the Smoke Up Johnny monologue, but from Jesus' point of view.
See, this is what you get when you're in Gethsemane and you take the cup.
Sorry, I set you up for that.
He's showing a hole in his palm instead of the
Last Supper Club.
This show is great, Jeff.
We're fucking killing it, man.
I know, and it's because it stopped being about me, because I became God.
This show has never stopped being about you for a second.
I achieved apotheosis. I stopped caring about the show. The mistake we made at the very tippy top of the show was focusing on me, because I have nothing left to, like... So bring up DC Pearson. Oh, nice. Now you're killing it. You're doing your little riffy bits.
Yeah.
You're dropping bombs from the three-point line over
I'm
there.
I'm fucking nailing it.
This is the show, Jeff.
Now you fucked it again.
Dan, yeah. will there be a point where you will lay down the mantle of being Dan Harmon?
Yeah. I know I'm grooming Spencer.
Okay.
And I don't mean in the literal sense, because
I know his beard is very impressive.
Yeah. That would be a Sisyphean task. Grooming Spencer. That's a whole indie movie that you have to.
Grooming Spencer was at Slam Dance this year, right?
I think Spencer should have his own podcast where he sits in his red flannel shirt and like talks to friends and talks about what's going on. He's much smarter and much younger and has much more to offer.
And also, I ran into Spencer last night, and I don't know if I'd seen you since we got back. Maybe once, Spencer. I don't know. But you seem like activated. You seem like he came back like charged up by that tour.
He feels a little smiley, but not in an artificial way. Like I like seeing him happy. He's kind of like, yeah, he feels a little more energized. He's not afraid to like slouch down into a sedentary fucking glacial. Like Spencer's a glacier. He's like a force of nature. If he disagrees with you, then there's a river there where the disagreement happened. Like, you can't really argue with it because he doesn't disagree unless there's, like, logic on his side, and then you're fucked. but just, like, yeah, there's a little buoyancy that I'll take credit for. I think I changed Spencer as a god.
Oh, boy.
But wait, so...
But you're really turning into a villain.
And I don't care.
You got a shirt on with your picture on it.
Like all the great villains do. Lex Luthor's line of Luthor t-shirts.
Hannibal Lecter.
Visit my cafe press, Clarice.
Hannibal
collector in the first season of Jodie Foster has like the icon with the actual mask. Yeah. like even though he hasn't worn it yet in the movie.
Why are you wearing that weird shirt, Dr. Lecter?
Yeah. But it says got kryptonite. Yeah,
Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah, because he's a big villain fan.
Oh, I see. He's a villain's villain.
Yeah, he's a fan of Lex Luthor.
Did you see Hannibal Rising?
No.
They made a prequel to this goddamn character, this beloved guy that eats people, who's famous for the famous images of him wearing this mask. And in the movie, they walk you down the road of why you could be a good person and sexy and decide to start eating people. And on top of it all, he also like wears like a weird precursor to the mask in the movie. Doesn't make sense at all. Like he someone gives him like a the Japanese call this a kugugububu, and like he's wearing it looks like the thing from the airplane hangar. That's only a famous image because it's a famous image. It has nothing to do with his origin.
It's not like he was on the plane being like, I want to wear that.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, man.
Now I could get used to this. Yeah.
How do I get one of those? You have to eat a lot of people.
It is actually bad to the point of worth watching.
I like that prequels aren't like how this person actually got to become who they are. It's just like, hey, remember this? Remember when this is a cool gif?
Yeah.
Now it's in a movie.
But even worse, the prequels that are like all you don't even get remember this.
No.
All you get is anticipate this.
Right.
Like you know, you make a prequel to like with Breakfast Club, and it's just like you're just watching people like you know, should I pierce my ear? I think I will. And you're supposed to go, fuck yeah. Get with the Breakfast Club.
Should I get dandruff?
Yeah. You're using the wrong shampoo, young lady. What am I watching?
I feel like if you were to watch any great movie, if you were to watch its prequel before you had seen the actual great movie that allowed there to be a prequel in the first place, everything in that prequel, I don't know of a prequel that doesn't do this, just completely licks the donut of what ends up being good about these things. Like Prometheus is just a giant feature-length donut lick of Alien.
Fuck you, Prometheus.
It's just dudes. I don't care if you haven't seen it. Somebody said, fuck you. That's Damon Lindelof.
What? Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah, that is the weird thing. Like, he's adorable. He's a Channel 101 fan.
Right.
But come on, I'm an Alien fan. Like, you can't, fuck, no amount of press releases is gonna, you can't give me instructions to go into a movie. Don't watch this wrong. You called it an Alien prequel, you fuckers.
Well, yeah, and the fact that they're like, remember every amazing, cool, iconic thing from the first 10 minutes of Alien? You know how you've wondered for like 20 years, what's inside of that thing? The cool thing is that I don't know. What if what was inside of it was dudes?
Dudes and goo.
Dudes and goo.
Dudes and goo.
On the road this summer, dudes and goo. Yeah. Solving crimes.
This looks like a great place to build a Nakatomi Plaza. Not a good movie idea.
Now these Indians are to rest in this burial ground, never to have a suburban home built on it. Where Craig T. Nelson will someday live.
I say, young one, you have done a very good job building the cemetery. Let's go have a beer.
Yeah.
Our work is done.
And the young Craig T. Nelson gets the keys to the cemetery. I'll do fine. I'm sorry. Craig T. Nelson, he was the hero in that movie. He's so often the villain, I forgot. Fuck you guys. Edit it out. It's going to seem like I'm a god. Also, edit out all the parts where I say I'm a god. Because that
How
makes me seem like not a god.
How long until you're just walking around L.A. doing your normal business and you just have an awkward interaction with like a barista or something? Like, edit this out.
Edit this out. I don't like this.
I'm a god.
I'm a god. Edit it out. All right. Well, thank you, DC
Thanks
Pearson.
We have.
Is there anything else you want to say about your fucking?
Yeah, people should go to crapkingdom.com if they want to buy the book. Please pre-order it. I'm trying to get on the New York Times bestseller list. It's a good book. You'll enjoy it. And then I'll write your name into a rap song. How great would that be?
Why don't you write someone's name from here right now into a rap song?
Sweet. Let's
All
do
right.
it.
Here we go.
Maddie's. You got.
Yeah.
Nominated.
Do Maddie.
Maddie. Maddie rap.
Maddie. Yeah. Maddie. I gotta fucking put my hood up for this shit.
Get the hood on.
Okay.
He's putting his rap hood on.
Rap hood's up. Maddie. Jeff Davis doesn't really know about baddies. He seems to think that Hannibal is Lex Luthor. But this thing, this show, is the fucking truth, son. And that's why I rap, and that's why I rhyme. And I did not have the right beat time at the beginning of this rap about Maddie. She wants to talk about cookies. I will do so gladly. We could talk about Keeblers. Talk about Entenmann's. Did they make cookies? I think they did. Yeah. If you buy my book, I will write the raps in advance.
DC Pearson.
Right. DC Pearson.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Crab Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's on autopilot. I just bring cool people up and I just let it rip.
Yeah?
How are we doing on time, buddy?
We're doing good. I think it might be time to bring up maybe somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
And let's segue into playing D&D?
Yeah.
So let's bring up one of my funniest friends in the world with one of the most adorable accents who is often here lurking in the background but who has never been on stage here, which is a crime.
He's never been on our show, has he?
I don't think he's ever been up here. No, yeah. No.
Let's welcome to stage Kumail Nanjiani, everybody. Oh, yeah.
Hey, how's it going? I feel like there's a lot of pressure on my accent right now.
It's pretty adorable.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I want to squeeze its little accent cheek.
It's called the 15 Years Out of Pakistan.
Yeah, I like it. 15 makes years. Me feel fancy listening to you.
You guys were talking about prequel. I always hate when they do like a movie where it's like a kid version of somebody. Like there was a movie I saw the preview and it was about British people. I didn't know what it was. And then there's one scene where the mom is like, "Come down for dinner, John Lennon." And then you find out it's about John Lennon. There's always like, or like in fucking the new Batman movie, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name is Robin? That's his real name? That's the fucking worst
that
thing.
That is retarded. With all due respect to my retarded sister, which means I can say retarded. Like, that is so retarded. That whole movie was an unbelievable... That movie was like watching a guy trying to tie his shoe with a stack of teacups on his head.
And like, he's not good at it. It's his first time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, nothing. Like you're just sitting there the whole time going, well, I could do that.
Well, also, is the end a dream sequence when he's actually in... Because Michael Caine, they're in the same cafe that was in his dream? That's a
Michael
real
Caine
cafe.
Michael Caine has a dream that one day he'll be at a restaurant drinking Fernet Branca.
Really?
Yeah, your favorite drink, Jeff.
Sweet.
Fernet Branca. And he shares a dream with Christian Bale at one point and says, "I have a dream that one day I'll be in a restaurant and you won't be Batman anymore and you'll be eating an omelet and I'll be having a Fernet Branca and you won't even acknowledge me." Why not?
You'd be like,
"Alfred,
hey,
holy shit, yeah. I'm not Batman anymore. Get over here.
What are the fucking odds?
What the fuck are you
this
drinking?
Is from your dream?
Fernet Branca's on the house? Jesus fucking Christ. Not only were you my fucking confidant and guy that sewed me up when I lost fights to supervillains, on top of all that, you are my fucking butler. Butler, that's already worth hanging out after we're retired.
I want to see all the scenes where they just go to random cafes. Like, all right, he's not at this one. Let's keep going to the next one. They had to go to hundreds of cafes.
And also, on top of it all, really, Alfred, dumb dream. Stupid fantasy.
Real,
dumb.
He'd just seen Good Will Hunting, so he was like...
He himself knows that some men just want to see the world burn. He can't drum up a better fantasy than hanging out at a cafe.
He's a butler.
Well, he didn't do it for me.
The butler didn't do it?
I don't know, a lot of ridiculous Alfred fans out in the audience. Like, really? Alfred fans?
Did you guys really love Dark Knight Rises?
A couple people. You liked it? What's your name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, you loved it?
I did.
Yeah?
I thought it was deep.
Would you thought it was deep?
That's very brave of you.
Did you just say you thought it was deep?
Well, don't.
Are you 14? Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's walk a line between communicating with her and bullying her. That's very brave of her to like.
Yeah.
That's an important
Rebecca, bad cop.
Would you be willing to come up and talk about it a little bit?
Rebecca, everybody.
Rebecca.
Here, take this.
You get that one.
Here, you take this mic.
Oh, wow. God just gave me a microphone. It's kind of my lifelong dream.
So you thought, I haven't seen the film, so I cannot weigh in on this either way. So. I was too busy reading literature.
Well, that's how Batman started.
Like many forms of literature, Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, grappled with.
I feel like you haven't rehearsed this.
No, it grappled with some themes that I thought were deep. I'm sorry.
What themes did you like?
Well, the striving for true freedom, like true human freedom,
out of
de-shackling ourselves from tyranny.
But the villains were espousing that theme.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Right, exactly, which is why I really thought it was like, true revolution hasn't been really tried.
Right.
Because every time humans have tried revolution, the people who are, you know, making the revolution become the dictators.
Right.
And so it's exploring those themes.
Like, right. I think I like this movie now.
Like how seductive the idea of, you know, let's anarchy.
But I mean, like you've seen Fight Club, right? So so just watch Fight Club again.
No, but
Fight Club doesn't have Batman in it.
Fair enough.
Every movie would be better with Batman in it. Casablanca's great, but what if Batman showed up?
Well, that is true. That is absolutely true.
Thank you, Rebecca. Well done. You did it.
That was great. Thank you. I don't want that heroism to go unnoticed. I mean, that's fucking rough, man. We're trained in the society. If there's like a zeitgeist or a collective consensus that's being emitted via groans, and someone bothers to go, I don't know, and then...
I get
really protective of those people because I'm like, God damn it, that is what happened to all of us on the playground. This is like a collection of people who all got picked on the playground. We were all on the business end of. There's probably there's some really handsome, well built guy in the back that's like, fuck you. I come to Harmontown because for the fitness tips, and now you're bullying me. That's collateral damage. You can stay here, Tad. But nerds are nerds too. You're welcome here. But anyways, whatever.
I was just speaking of ways.
I just think that's so cool that somebody would go like, I like Batman Rising. I insist on getting the title right.
So yeah, now's a good time as any to bring Spencer up to the stage. So we have him. Spencer.
Yeah, I didn't really clarify that. The reason Kumail is here is because Kumail, very passionately, does this throw you into the bus in any weird reverse way? Kumail is always, haunting the back. He's the phantom of Nerdmelt.
You make it sound like I've been very desperate to come up here.
No.
Like,
no,
I'm just no, no, like, no. Maybe it's my turn today.
No.
I'll go and dream of you in a cafe.
He's a professional stand-up with a very funny act. He doesn't have to. He doesn't crave the spotlight. I'm saying you were very enamored when we started bringing Spencer up and playing D&D.
And from
the very get-go, you were like, "Holy shit! What is this? What is this? I want to do this."
I've never played D&D, and it's like completely in my wheelhouse. I just never played it. I mean, I've played like RPG video games. And
you
stuff.
Seem like you should have played D&D. Yeah,
that's not a compliment.
No, it's not.
we were at the drawing room a couple weeks before the Harmontown tour, and you're like, I really want to like kind of hang out with Spencer. I really want to play that game. Like there is a fascination there.
Which is the same as Spencer saying before he came to the first show that he came to, I feel like I should be playing D&D with Dan Harmon, and then came to a show and I said, anybody Dungeon Masters in the audience? And I went, whoop.
I'm telling you, well, that seems, if you don't write the show, God's writing it.
That seems
so. This means you're going to be great at D&D.
I hope
so.
That seems just as plausible now as Alfred running into Batman at the cafe, right?
But if God is writing the show and you're God, the show is being written
by me,
by you,
but like off the cuff.
Okay.
Who made that noise? That's a weird noise. Yeah.
Well, what was that noise?
I don't know.
It sounded like theme music. Like there was like that's your villain. The dum dum dum.
Spencer,
how you doing,
whatever.
Babe?
I'm doing so good.
I called you babe. I just called you babe. Did you catch that?
I'm kind of a babe.
Yeah. Actually, as I say that, I realize I'm wearing my D20 Spencer pin. My I Heart Spencer.
It's true. He is.
It's a goodie.
I bet Spencer does okay.
What?
I bet you do okay, right?
No. See me after the show.
He'll explain to you.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. I have a bulleted list. At the top is I make bulleted lists.
Are you a list maker?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's like, because if I don't have a list, you know, I'm just like, I'm thinking of everything. I'm like, okay, I need new shoes at some point. But today I got to go to the bank, and in a bit I have to do something, and then there's someone I want to talk to. But so if you have it on a list, it's not swirling around in your head. It's just there.
Right.
And then you can think.
That terrifies me because I when do you make the list? Like and when you before you go to bed at night?
The second you think of a thing, write it down in a list of stuff you have to do.
I want to be one of those people.
And you can't do it with electronics. You have to do it analog style. You have to like write it down.
Okay. All right.
And like I mean electronics are awesome, but I mean for writing a list, like you have to think I have a pencil in my pocket with which to write down
God
steps
damn it.
On a list.
I don't know why I
think this is actually the God baton being passed right now.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, Spencer's Jesus and I'm God and Jeff is Ralph
and I'm Muslim.
I love Spencer. Like I love my little paper notepad. It's nice, the physical act of writing something down makes my brain remember it. Typing it in, not so much.
Like, Jesus is in the Quran, isn't he? Isn't he doesn't he have a cameo or something? Isn't there like a?
No. If we want to get into it, someone's like, yes. Who said that? Are you?
I'm an atheist.
She's an atheist.
Okay. Were you ever not an atheist?
No.
Okay. You've read the Quran?
Yeah.
Just to be like, oh, bullshit. Jesus is in the Quran. The only difference is that once he dies, he does not come back. And he is not the son of God, but he is a prophet.
Right. Which is, like in Jesus Christ Superstar, which is the best telling of that myth in the fucking world. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's a pretty heroic act to get fucking murdered and be cool with it. Like, that's enough. I don't need to then see you at the grocery store the next day. I don't need magic tricks. Heroism is simple as being human and being like cool with people beating the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that well, anyways, all right, fuck
were
it.
You, were you raised Muslim?
Yeah.
Are you still practicing?
I mean, are you? Can I not answer that because people will listen to it, and we're not the most laid-back people.
Right. That's such a bummer.
yeah, chill out, Muslims.
I know. Right? No. I mean, just people being bummed out by other people.
It's very hard for me to say anybody to say anything about Islam that isn't completely agreeing with Islam is a very difficult thing, which is not to imply that that's what I would have said.
Right. As a possibly very good Muslim.
Yeah.
A potentially perfect Muslim.
Perfect Muslim.
Joseph Campbell says, religion loses its function the minute it becomes opaque. Like, it's supposed to be like a stained glass window. You can get as ornate as you want. You framing it because you're drawing the audience's attention to a thing that's there that they never notice otherwise. So, yes, get festive. Get crazy. Get ceremonial. Get ritualistic. But the moment it becomes opaque and blocks the thing, the very thing that you're supposed to be drawing the attention to, which is this non-corporeal
real thing. There's light that shines through it. Anyways, so if you're making a religion out there,
it becomes all about ritual.
Try to keep 1 foot out. That's the other. It's like the hokey pokey religion. Like, it's important to kind of straddle, I think, the line between the Bible being a newspaper and
Dungeons and Dragons,
and that goes for atheists too, by the way. Like your Bible is science, which is a fucking great religion because it's a bunch of priests like joining hands and looking for the unknown. But if you like, the whole point is that there's something that's unknown. Sorry.
Why are you sorry? So you said you're going to get deep, you kept talking about religion and politics, and you kept getting deep, and you kept apologizing.
Well, because politics, the reason politics and religion are party breakers is because you're not really talking about yourself. Because the reason they're called politics and religion is because you're not actually expressing the way that you feel. And the whole and you just saw firsthand the result of like an individual being unable to, like, it's like there's political reasons, there's religious reasons why an individual can't say, I'd like a ham sandwich, I think the weather's nice today, this is how I feel about stealing, this is how I feel about capital punishment. For that same reason, it's kind of a, you know, when you get in your pulpit, you're like, there's a fine line between being honest and being dishonest. Like it's when you start speaking for other people and I was just saying something like Joseph Campbell, who I think was a really smart guy, like said about religion, and he was super Catholic but super smart, which too many people think is a contradiction in terms, and it doesn't have to be. Religion can actually be like a smart person's tool to dealing with the cosmos. That's a personal feeling that I'm sharing, not a political or like it's not the equivalent of like being at a party and going like, this is that, and God wears a hat and he doesn't. And I'm sharing that idea. It doesn't have to be true to you for you and I to get along. It's just an interesting thing to think about that humankind like made these religions like we our brains are capable of doing that is neither something to take too seriously, because we also make poop. And we learned to flush that the fuck down the toilet. And that was a great day that doubled our lifespan as a species.
Also, you didn't have to look at shit.
But it's also something to not like totally disregard, because when you look at your shit, if there's blood in it, you know, that's a clue. So human beings make things, you know, we make shit. That makes us different from leopards.
I think that's
And leopards
big...
alone. That's the only animal. If you're a leopard and you're listening, I'm coming after you. Yeah. Stop fucking gold bricking. Start making shit, leopards.
Get off of that limb and do some shit. Invent a broom.
Stop lithely splaying yourself on a branch and waiting for a wounded gazelle.
Where's your iPad, you know? Because Islam is definitely about rejecting the body and embracing the spirit. And I think that's one of the... If I were to speak my mind, I would say that suppression of the body it can be a big mistake, and it can come out in very aggressive, violent ways.
It can also be a super cool thing. I stopped jerking off, and my sex life with Aaron has improved greatly.
Oh, so you've been having sex.
Yeah.
You just haven't been jerking off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
If I didn't have a girlfriend, I wouldn't bother to experiment with not jerking off. That's ridiculous. If I didn't have a girlfriend, Jesus. I would invent new ways to jerk off.
So
I would be telling these people, if you take a hammock and a and a rotisserie grill.
Yeah. How big is your house?
Even a leopard, if you couldn't fuck another leopard, he would invent new jerk off methods.
So you're just okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little less heroic than you made it sound at the beginning.
Yeah, you're constantly having sex and jerking off usually.
Yes. And
when you're having sex, do you jerk off to finish during the sex?
I don't think that counts as jerking off.
No, sometimes I would. Yeah, sometimes I would, and that's part of the thing. Like when you get into that thing, like your brain gets into like.
Maddie, leave the room.
There's a, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
I can't believe this started with Joseph Campbell's views on religion. And that same exact thought. This is the same thought. Do you jerk off when you finish sex? Oh, yeah, yeah, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
We're
like The View without the order.
I like it. I think that stuff belongs in the same conversation.
No, I think so too. And you know, we're all about suppression of sex, sexual drive, and
we live in a world of
even appetites, food, everything.
There's 6 billion people in the world, so now at this point, if you started to lower your guard, there's a million predators that would immediately do shady shit. Same thing with legalizing drugs, all this shit. But that's the problem of the momentum that we've had. The truth is, on a technical, you know, basis, the truth is, I think we've learned this and we all know this, we just don't know how to put it in practice, that the less inhibitions, and the more self-policing you allow, people...
The more you just acknowledge that it's a thing instead of just suppressing and not even... I mean, I literally never got the sex talk. I learned what sex was from watching a porno and being like, this is very wrong. And I had a fever for 3 days. I really did. And there's no sex education in Pakistan at all.
Yeah, we've talked about it over and over and over again in our society. It's plain as day. We talk about it in history class, how prohibition gave rise to an entire organized crime kingdom of like terrible alcohol that make you blind if you drank it, and you make something
against
the law.
That's how we are with sex right now. We're in Pakistan having sex that would make us blind. Bad shit is going on behind closed doors.
I mean, I'll represent the West, though, and say we've got a lot of senators and a lot of airplane stalls doing a lot of weird airport stalls.
Right.
The bottom line is when the distance between what's going on in your head and what's coming out of your mouth, how shameful is it? What are you thinking that's so fucking bad that if you said it, something bad would happen to you? What is the bad thing that would happen to you? Would you not be allowed to be a senator? Hey, maybe that means it's a shitty job. Maybe that means you shouldn't be a fucking senator. Go, there's so much shit to do out there. Go dig a goddamn hole. Put a flower in it. You can do that. Think all kinds of shit about octopi.
I don't know if those are...
Stop listening to your parents tell you you're supposed to be a senator. You're like, Mom, Dad, I want a fucking octopus. I want to fuck it real bad. I want a fucking octopus so bad. I want to feel all 8 tendrils just wrapping me. I just want to fucking come inside this fucking thing, this cephalopod. And I know I can't make it pregnant, but I just see him on TV and it's just fucking my cock gets hard as Gibraltar. I don't want to make the laws for Louisiana. I'm not fit to do it. Give the job to a guy that doesn't want the job. It's civil service. It's not royalty.
Are you implying that when he was in the stall, he was hoping an octopus would come in?
That's the point of the glory hole. It could be anything you want it to be.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, just bite down and pretend it's a beak. I always think fucking an octopus would be a tough way to go, man.
Yeah.
There's some shit inside there that you don't want fucking anything
to do with.
Well,
I know, but so much suction cups, all of the suction cups.
That'd be good.
You haven't even thought about
this. Yeah, but the beak, I go right to the beak. That thing is supposed to be like you just crack a fucking stone.
Octopus hand job. Think about it. A million blowjobs wrapped around your dick at the same time.
That is heaven. A million blowjobs wrapped around your dick.
Yeah.
That is very poetic.
That's a new... I should give credit where credit due. That is the slogan for the new Dairy Queen shake.
Also, octopi have an ability to fill any tiny little crevice.
As long as
they could go right up right at your dime-sized butthole.
Right up your asshole. Get in there and just fucking just suction your prostate.
Just let you have it. Oh, they'd be squirreling around in there.
Yeah.
They can fit through any hole that's at least as big as their eyeball. So if your asshole is bigger than an octopus's eyeball, you're having a great day.
You go octopus shopping, and you're like,
a smaller eye, please.
Sir. Sir, what are you intending to do with this?
There's like a trial room in the back that you have to try the
Yeah, there's an ophthalmologist thing. You put your chin on a thing and it's got a little measures your eyeball. And I go, I think I know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. All right. So what's better, this or this?
All right. Somebody's gonna be the fun police.
Let's play some D&D for fuck's sake, shall we?
Yeah.
Is Aaron here?
Yeah, Aaron's.
Aaron McGathy to the stage. Aaron McGathy.
Does Aaron have a mic? Is there a mic for Aaron?
Do you have an extra mic? Emily's on the job.
Okay.
Emily Gordon.
Hello, Aaron.
Hey, fun show, guys.
Do you ever think of wearing more sweaters with like multiple sleeves? like six extra sleeves.
I don't think about that, but I do think about constructing like a really hard beak that I can tie around my head.
It'd be like a Bane mask.
Emily, Camille's wife, was just telling me backstage, you know, Camille's weirdly obsessed with octopus, with octopi.
Okay.
The nature
of my obsession is slightly different from the context that
we... It starts with the Quran.
I am obsessed. They're like a very...
Get him a towel for fuck's sake. He's sweating.
Give me 8 towels. They're actually hyper smart and they can learn to open jars and
love.
They can
predict the elections.
They can predict elections and seasons. And one scientist actually had this octopus in his like aquarium, but it was open. It was like his pet. And he came in one day, and the octopus was out of the aquarium. And they can learn to mimic humans. And
what? Wait.
No, they mimic.
What, it's wearing a lab coat. And it's on its way in the parking lot. It's like the end of Silence of the Lambs. It's putting on a hat and going into Panama.
He was shoving another octopus up its ass. He came in and he saw the octopus like just flipping through a book, which at that point you just fucking killed yourself.
How to use the book.
It had seen the scientist flipping pages, and so it was just there like, oh hey, just.
That is
needs
weird.
More character
Whereas
development.
I was at an airport and there was a flight delay, and there was a child with a mother and father, and the child was probably, I'd say, 2.5, 3, and there was a magazine and the kid was wandering around and bothering everybody and found like a Newsweek and put it on its lap and started running its finger across it like an iPad.
Yeah.
And couldn't master magazine technology.
It's a sub-octopus human. Exactly.
You can sit there, buddy.
Oh, sure? There.
Yeah. I was fascinated. We're running along, but the concept of intelligence, it's just nerve clusters. We have these giant brains, which I am a huge fan of. I am on our species' side. I think that we need to decide right or wrong whether God made a mistake making us this way, like these super intelligent monkeys. It was a fucking gamble. We've been in the planet's crosshairs for so long. It's like tough titties that were given a little back, and we can straighten up our aim, but it's like we're a hard species to keep alive because we're a fucking huge like double zero bet on the roulette wheel of biological warfare. Like the idea of just flooding this cranium with this folded over grotesque giant plate of spaghetti that has sentient thought and makes decisions and is conscious of its own fucking death. Like meanwhile, ants are like, nah, we'll stick with what's working, and they'll probably beat us. Like they will. They've been around for long.
They don't have depression,
right?
They're not
things. Like we look at them, and you step on one ant, and you go like, "That poor thing," or "I feel bad," or "I feel great because I got fired today." But it's like the fucking ant doesn't care that much, and yet it's part of this gigantic, fucking, incredibly sophisticated organism called an ant colony that is the actual. That's the actual species. It's not Mike, like the plumber. It's like the little things you're seeing. They're just like. Anyways, I like the idea of intelligence. Like we're obsessed with the idea that, oh, of course you'd evolve towards that, but this octopus knows how to pretend to read a book.
Well, let's do some wish fulfillment right now and let Kumail play some D&D for pity's sake, shall we? Spencer? Oh, sir, get us up to date.
Slowly, he hands out his character sheets.
Prematurely, Jeff hits the Spencer theme, not knowing.
Dan does his impression of Spencer. He doesn't know whether Spencer likes it or not. He's been doing it a lot.
Spencer finds it just fine before resuming his introduction. When we last met, after almost spending an entire tour trapped within its fleshy confines, our heroes had slain the mighty Infinifish. The party was flung out onto the ground of a strange land. After pulling themselves up, the party surveyed the landscape. The surrounding plants and trees were tremendous, emanating powerful and strange presences. The violet sky was full of orange balls of light, bouncing and bobbing in the sky like bubbles. The Infinifish corpse lay in the strange forest, strewn about the felled trees composing its deathbed. Soon the party was accosted by a strange pair wielding axes who took the party to their camp after a tense introduction. Just then, a misty fog rolled in, addling the minds of all parties involved and causing them to act strangely for a time.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
That was some Virginia Woolf shit.
Yeah.
The pair explained they had been searching for a rare legendary artifact known as the Soul of Growth, progenitor of all plant life and natural energy in the multiverse. The mysterious entity was rumored to be on Twyla, the plane of Angel's Forest. They fucked around for a while. Then, in a fit of progress, the barbarian fled south in hopes of finding the Soul of Growth through sheer coincidence. The rest of the ragtag group trailing behind.
Thank you, Spencer.
Wow.
I want to ask a sidebar question about the inhabitants of the Infinifish that we had met and learned to relate to. And are they all dead?
Well, okay. Like, imagine an infinitely long fish, right?
Okay. Now, no problem.
If you exploded out of it at point A, and they were, you know, you were farther along than they were spit out at some unknown point X if they survived. So even if they did, there would be no way of you guys really knowing. You were pretty far down the fish.
Oh, so it's like Lost. Like if we need them, we'll find out that the tail section crashed somewhere
else.
Or
if you cared, you know, last episode, you probably would have, you know, tried to look for them and maybe found them. I mean, I'm just saying. What you want to do happens. You
hey,
know?
Listen, man. Those two guys, they paid $1,000 to play D&D.
Yeah.
I was so concerned with making that. I was also
is this $1,000 like actual dollars?
Yeah.
And they got up there and nothing happened. Aaron alternately killed them and made up with them like four times, and it was really wild. And nobody knew what was going on.
I wanted them to kill you, but they didn't want to.
Right. Wait, why did you want them to kill us?
It would be a good prize.
Well, they only had one day. Also, I met a horse.
Yeah,
Coco.
Oh, yeah, you got a horse, yeah.
Yeah. Kumail, I have a horse now.
What's the horse's name?
Coco.
Yep.
It's chocolate,
yeah. Is it like just a horse or like a talking horse?
Well, I mean, I can understand her. Is she just a horse? No. But technically, yes. Yes.
Just so much more to you than a horse.
Yes.
Got it.
So I was trying to leave this group, right, and just
you
go.
Guys, yeah. So you struck off south and
in search of the Soul of Growth.
Yeah, and you know the team just kind of followed along because that seemed like a cool idea. Yeah.
Well, if I said that, it was in a blackout drunk. What I really want to do is like root around and see if my concern is for the people that were in that fish. And you know, like we're covered in viscera. Like I'm gonna root around a little bit and see if I can find them.
Like you guys are. Okay, so like in the fish, around the fish, or just in general anywhere on this forest?
Well, we landed in a big pile of fish goo.
True.
Like I'm looking for more fish wreckage.
I'll take the outer perimeter. Coco and I will trot around the outer perimeter looking for people.
Okay, so you could go either east or west.
I go east.
You go east along the side of the fish. You travel quite some way, but you feel that the fish goes on. For infinity.
It's a long fish, Coco.
You see no split in the side of the fish. If there was anyone spat out, it wasn't here.
Yikes.
Right. You feel like it'd take several days to actually go through the whole length of this fish.
Can I ask a question? Why are you guys looking for people who've fallen out of the fish?
They didn't even. They just lived in it.
Yeah, no, but what's your concern, Dan, about these people?
Why are you guys looking for him?
He's a compassionate soul.
Beings.
Oh, okay.
What in the hell am I... What kind of world is this?
All right, okay, just like concern for your human...
For humanity!
All right, got it.
I don't understand.
So what way are you heading, Sharpie? You're looking for people, but you didn't.
Well, now I lost my friend.
It's true. I'm looking for the soul of growth. Right. I'm on my way south, baby.
You head south. The trees get taller and thicker. There doesn't really seem to be a path, but soon you come across a massive thicket of trees that walls off any remaining progress. The ground before you is littered with bones and bits of flesh and pieces of metal and little scraps of things as well as half-eaten animals.
I try to detect a trap around me.
You detect traps about. You best to be careful.
Okay, I stand perfectly still.
Good plan. You hear rustling in the brush. Someone makes it through the thick tangle of trees into plain view.
Oh, shit.
He calls out, "Watch out for those traps. They'll get you." That's the introduction for Kumail's character, who wanders onto frame.
Oh. Hey. Who goes there?
Is it Fennett?
Fennett. If you want to change your name, I just write random things.
Fennett. But, Branca.
Yeah, like Fennett.
Okay. I'll change my name.
Do it.
Improv. Chris DeBerg.
Nice.
Chris DeBerg.
I wrote Lady in Red.
Oh, shit. I love that. It's a great song.
It is a good song.
God. Wait, you wrote Lady in Red?
Yeah, man. Shit's been bad.
Who sang Lady in Red?
I sang it also.
You sang it too. Because that's one of those. It's one of those guys that you never know who sang like that song. That's great.
It was me, Chris DeBerg.
What are you doing in this thick forest surrounded by traps?
Shit got fucked, man. You know, so that was a big song. It was really good. Yeah. And I was like...
But you must have got all the royalties off that, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. But you know what happened was they started having proms themed around my song. Never sent me royalty checks for that. And I thought I could write that theme forever, so... There was a lady in pink, which I'm sure you've never heard of.
No. You can't go back to the well. Like,
In yellow. There was a dude in red, which...
Have you ever heard of dudes in goo?
No, I've been here a long time.
Oh, yeah? So what brings you out here? What are you up to?
Well, there's a lot of traps around. Don't...
Are they your traps?
No, I didn't set these traps. I wish I could afford traps.
Got it. Do you need some money? Are you hungry? Like, what do you need, man?
Money would be great.
I give him a couple small coins to get him through the day, Spencer.
The only trap I fell into was my own ineptitude with financial.
Well, you know, the music industry, man, it's really wild.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Can I... I have a question about my spell, Detect Thoughts. Am I able to use that to find... friends, like
you'd be able if okay. So if someone was behind a wall thinking, like you'd be able to.
I'd go, oh, that's Stan's thoughts.
But like it's not a huge range, so you'd be able to. Like, all minds come to me or whatever, you know. Right.
Yeah. I Coco and I track down Sharpie and scoop him.
Rejoining your compatriot, you scoop him up into a horse.
Hey, I don't think finding these people that lived in the fish is. It doesn't seem to be a narratively profitable adventure.
I agree, but I think that everybody noted what a great humanitarian you are.
Thank you.
How thoughtful you are.
That's honestly what's important. More important than the lives themselves. Yeah.
Are there any animals around me, Spencer, that I can talk to?
I'm here.
No. Not an animal. I mean, like little woodland creatures or anything.
I mean, you don't see any, right? You could like maybe do a call.
I do a squirrel. Call.
Do I have any? I just
You think magic is dumb, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have some science items that are made with alchemy and whatnot, but they're not so much magical.
Well, yeah. So what, Chris?
What's your name?
I'm Cork. What do you do for a living?
I got a great new idea for a song.
Oh yeah?
Corpse in Red.
See, look, I'm just a gnome barbarian. I'm out for adventure and for profit, but I really think you need to not keep going back to that same idea.
I don't know, it really worked great that
I
one
know,
time.
But like yeah, but like but it's like, you know, like
you heard the song, right?
Chubby Checker.
Lady in Red,
Chubby
she's Checker. Dancing with me, cheek to cheek.
Name a Chubby Checker song. Doing the twist, right?
Yeah.
Then he tried to rewrite the twist 1,000 times, and they all sucked. You know, it's like learn from Chubby Checker. Like what's on your mind? What's some actual pain? And like, or
I have an idea for a new song. Okay. I want it's about.
Is it about being in a color?
It's gonna be about like you meet someone, and then it's like, call me maybe. You know.
Okay.
So that'll be the song.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's better than that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Call me maybe.
Look, man, that is just to change subjects briefly. I'm looking for the soul of growth. Do you know anything about that?
Do I?
Do you want me to fill him in?
What? What is the soul of growth?
Possess your character. Yeah. The soul of growth is a rumored artifact that's, you know, supposed to be on Twyla. That's this plane we're on, you see. It's rumored to be able to create life and birth even, you know, planes and the magical plants and all sorts of crazy shit. Like, this whole forest used to just be the soul of growth until it expanded. So it's pretty big deal around here.
I've heard of it.
Wait,
it's a pretty big deal around here.
Have you ever been there? Could you show me the way?
Yeah.
You seem like you're a little down on your luck. I've got some. I got a sack of nuts. I'll give you some nuts, and I'll give you some money. No, it's like food, like actual nuts.
I can forage for nuts. Do you have any like ham sandwiches?
Do I have any? Do I have any meat in my inventory?
You should have some like food stuffs.
Okay. I ply him with food stuffs and say, if you show me the way, I'll feed you. I'll make sure that you. We'll maybe collaborate on some songs together, and we'll go. You know what? Soul of Growth sounds like a great place to get your career back on track.
Oh my God, that does, because that's what needs growth.
Yeah,
my career.
Exactly.
All right.
If it can create a plane, it could certainly write us a new song.
It needs to be a hit song. Okay, I've written hundreds.
Okay,
of songs.
But just so you know, because I'm fronting you this money and food off the top, I get 80% of your back end.
That sounds like a good deal.
Okay, cool.
Do I actually know where it is?
What? Yeah, I mean, you are aware that it's in a supposed to be in the shrine.
Yeah.
To the
all
top.
All right, I'll tell you.
Okay. Lead me there.
Conversing.
Yeah. Okay.
Riding on the back of Mulrain's horse Coco, her hair whipping into my face, the horse's rhythms gyrating my gyrations. I ask her to stop the horse for a moment. Mulrain, stop.
Yeah.
It's only been so long since you've turned into a woman. But true. We are in a different dimension. I feel like the rules don't apply. I want to make love to you. Right now, in the dirt, while this horse watches.
I heard through the wind that you've been abstaining from pleasuring yourself.
For you. And for my magic. It actually adds a point of damage to my ray of frost.
Well, yes, let's do it in the dirt, as long as we can do it underneath Coco, underneath her shade.
Okay. It's a well-trained horse, right? It's not going to step on me.
No, no, she won't do anything. She'll watch, but she won't move.
I make love to Mulrain Sedana underneath her horse, Coco.
It's pretty ooh, sensual.
Cushy, 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 ah!
Is that good or bad?
Librarian.
He jerks off at the end to finish himself. as is commanded in the Quran.
I wipe the confetti off my stomach.
That's how good I am.
Just a little bit of confetti falls from the heavens.
Oh no, I thought it was coming out of the like Rip Taylor.
Sharpie, I know that your relationship with Quark is very close. Will this interfere?
It doesn't matter. He'll figure it out. He'll adapt. His relationship with me is one that doesn't involve things going into each other.
I don't fully believe that, but I trust you.
So you stop jerking off for 3 days and you fuck Aaron in D&D?
I'm very romantic now.
This makes fucking, so wow. much sense. Under a horse.
While that same horse was watching. Doesn't even make sense.
All right, I assume, cool. Because I have to assume that means it's their turn. I mean, it's not like...
Well, Sharpie, let's mount Coco and head to the Soul Explosion Yard. What was it called?
The Soul Explosion Yard.
I think the Soul Explosion Yard was your belly just now. Right?
Cut to me, Cork, and Krista Berg just jerking off next to a tree. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
That was a good idea, Chris.
I'm not done yet. Give me a second.
Okay, sorry. I'm gonna smoke one of my smoke sticks.
I got a new idea.
Oh, shit.
Lady in White.
Okay, yeah, look. Again, let's go to the Soul of Growth if we're going to
yeah,
write
okay.
you a song.
I know the there's a temple.
Okay, but we have to navigate through these traps. Can I detect the trap? What's the best way to navigate through these traps?
You can attempt to find a trap, then either once you see it, you can either avoid it or dismantle it somehow.
Okay. How many traps lay ahead of me?
Well, you don't know, so let's see how many.
Is there
you find.
Anything I have that would help?
You are also adept at finding traps, so you could both like sweep for traps.
What is your like class or race or what are you?
He's a human rogue.
Singer songwriter.
No, I know that, Krista Berg. I know you're very.
Did you have your number
level one with a bullet?
Have you heard Lady in Red? It was a huge song.
Really? What is he?
Well, I'm a thief, human thief, with some like.
You got some items, kind of like Batman.
All right. Is he currently surrounded by traps too? Presumably, he knows how to get through these traps.
Presumably, he does.
I follow Krista Berg through the traps.
Yeah, I know where the traps are, right?
Yeah,
I've been here.
You've been here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Krista Berg, again, all the food and gold you want. Let's get to the Soul of Growth. If you can lead the way.
I have no use for gold. I got gold records and stuff.
How many gold records really do you have?
One. Yeah. It was this song.
I promise you, if we get to Soul of Growth, a new gold record, maybe even platinum.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, follow me.
Okay.
Lady in red is dancing with me. All right. Are we through?
Okay, do you guys want to join back up yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, we're going through the traps. Okay.
As you blaze your trails, a horse approaches.
Hey! Ah! Oh, shit!
Hey!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Sharpie, Mulrain, Krista Berg!
Hey!
Whoa. Oh, shit. Hey!
He wrote Lady in Red. He wrote Lady in Red.
Have you guys heard Lady in Red? It was a big song.
I literally thought you were dead.
No, I've just been lost for a while. Spiritually and also physically.
Mulrain, you have some confetti in your hair.
Oh, haha. Let me just... I put it in a plastic bag and I put it in my pocket.
Tom Likas is right.
Yeah. Well, it was a Tom Likas. It was a bad Tom Likas joke. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, I know where the soul of growth is.
You know?
Yeah.
We're going to follow Krista Berg, famous singer-songwriter, through these traps because he knows the way.
I know the way.
And we're going to go to the Soul of Growth. We're going to get whatever we want. And also, I really...
He's giving me food and gold.
Food and gold, but I really want to get this guy's career back online.
Oh, that's great. If you guys have any ideas for songs, you know, I'm like a sponge right now.
How about...
Coco and Brown.
Coco and Brown.
I think you gotta get off the color thing.
I've been telling him this for like all day. Yeah.
If you're good at detecting traps, then why can't you look at the creative pitfalls like all around you, you know? And just get out of the area, you know, like sneak past all of it.
Or you're also
I'm going to. I know how to the traps. Like,
there's an actual guy who wrote "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star." We'll never know his name, but he probably wrote a bunch of shitty songs.
Jason Priestley.
But you're a thief, right? Why don't we just like break into Tom Waits' house or something like that and like, steal some song ideas?
I
point my horse towards Tom Waits' house.
Your horse doesn't know.
So I feel like now that we've made a new friend, Krista Berg.
Yeah.
We're embarking towards the Soul of Growth. I think that's a good cliffhanger, right?
Oh, yeah. Probably, yeah. I mean, certainly chronologically.
I think we're running longer. But I think now, Kamel, we've got you on board here now. So
yeah, you
got
to come back next week now.
Yeah.
May I say quickly, in the back, we're selling these T-shirts that Dan is wearing.
Wait, are we not in this world anymore?
This is Coco speaking. Okay. Oh, T-shirts. Pause from D&D World. We have T-shirts in the back. I don't know how many times we'll sell them again. This might be the last time. They're $15 or 2 for $25. Otherwise, they're online and they're more expensive. But yeah, come buy a T-shirt. That's all.
They've got confetti on them from the tour.
Don't worry. By confetti, we mean dance come.
All right. D&D cliffhanger.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Kumail Nanjiani.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Aaron McGaffey. Thank you, Spencer.
You can, yeah.
That's exciting. We have a new member of our party.
Yeah. For the time being, anyway.
Chris DeBerg.
Hilarious. Finding out that he, the octopus thing. Wait, Jeff, it really turned into a good show.
It did.
Yeah.
Was there ever any doubt?
No, there was, yeah, when I was talking at the top of it about whether or not it was going to be a good show, blah, blah, blah. Like, we can cut that out. That's sinew. That's tissue.
I would say in the past, like the early days of Nerd Melt shows, our best shows here when you were really driven by anxiety and by fear.
Yeah, sure. Now that I've become a godlike being, which we are going to embrace.
Don't tell me what to embrace.
I'm not going to affect the visage of a guy who's nervous as someone who's become an impersonal cosmic force. What I'm going to do is evolve into somebody who runs a real show and has awesome guests and talks about interesting stuff.
Now, here's a good question. And here's something I have not thought of until just now. We, on the tour, kept ending with these songs, these raps, these things that became kind of a, you know, we
did it.
We did it. We did enough. Now, how do you end a show now without that go-to thing?
Two words, Jeff. Two words.
Do you want me to hit the music? No, I thought that was it.
No, I don't know how to end the show. I'm never gonna. God doesn't know how to end your day. You go to bed. That's what happens to you. You close your eyes. God keeps the universe fucking like chugging. We go to the drawing room. We have a drink. You know, if I got to do a rap about being God, we'll see how it goes.
All right, I'm willing to roll those cosmic dice. Which style do you want?
We got enough time to see how a rap goes, or God damn it! Like the rapping is so.
How about this? For the last time, this will be our last one because we have the cameras here and we still have to use our non-licensed music. This will hopefully be the last time we have to use that same music we've been using just to keep it non-licensed.
We can go back to using like Metallica riffs.
Yeah,
and stuff
absolutely.
Next week.
So, but like, let's just give this one more whirl, and this will be maybe a little cherry on top of the entire tour. Let's try.
All right.
This.
I don't tend to do well when I actually need to. Oh, this. Okay.
It always sounds like Hot August Night to me.
Oh.
It's so good to be back. Good to be back here in Hollywood.
Octopuses.
My soul is flowing into yours. What kind of beer do you like? Coors. If it's a different kind, it's okay. In Harmontown. I love all of you. I love dudes and goo. I love hats and shoes. In Harmontown. And I learned to love all the people. Probably not gonna rhyme anything with that but steeple. Across the country of ours. Cars. Rhyming is dumb.
Don't rhyme. Connect. Rhyme? Connect with these people.
All right.
Look at the faces out here, Harmon. Look at all the right. people that look somebody that you don't know in the eye. Pick somebody at random, and look that person in the eye and connect with this person. But for real, don't rhyme car and far and steeple with people.
I won't. Hello. What's your name?
Martin.
Martin. You look a little bit like Eric Wareheim. Yeah, you don't have to. That was me getting in the way of us connecting. Who cares what you look like? That's stupid. Martin, I love you. Martin, I love you. We're the same person. We were born the same. We're only pretending to be separate. I don't have to rhyme. I could just stand here and talk. Martin, you're a human being,
Mark.
And so am I.
Martin. Oh, shit, sorry, that was Martin. I am an impersonal force who tries to come in and make you not connect with people to prove that connection is more difficult than it appears.
Oh, I'm beating him. Oh, now I'm free to connect. I'm so free to connect with the world. Cause we're in Harmontown. What's your name?
Ben.
What's the problem?
I'm having a fight with my sister.
Is she older or younger?
Older.
Fuck her. She should know that if she has a little brother, her fucking job is to be kind of a junior parent. Fuck her. What's her name? Sarah? Fucking grow up. You got a little brother. It doesn't matter if he's 40. He's your little brother. Fucking Sarah. Get your shit together. What's your name?
Dan.
Dan? Awesome. What's the problem?
Work.
What do you do?
I teach high school.
Someone has to. For God's sakes, our fucking country is collapsing. Please, just hang in there. Please. God damn it, Dan. It's insane that that's worthy of applause now. That's how people actually feel. Everyone is actually feeling that way. Hang in there. All right, what's your name? Hey, I know you. You help with T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. My name's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for helping with T-shirts.
Thanks for letting me in your house.
He was in the documentary, kind of. He helped Aaron with T-shirts. And then the documentary crew left, And then you expressed a lot of gratitude for being able to help Aaron with stuff, and you got kind of emotional. The documentary crew wasn't there to pick it up, and the documentary crew is here. Like, muster it up, do it, dance, monkey. tell us how much you love being in Harmontown.
I hope I can make friends there someday. I don't know.
Let's go to the drawing room afterwards. I'll buy you a drink for helping with T-shirts. All right. All right. Who's having the best day of their life? Who's... what's your name?
David.
What is there anything good that happened about today, detail-wise?
This is the second time I've ever actually been here or seen the show because my friends brought me, so I'm having a great time.
Well, so the reason you're having a great time is because you came to my show?
You are God!
I am God! Town, I'm a god. I make clouds and dogs. I separated the sky from the earth. You're here because of me, and everything that you feel and do is because a little guy like me shot his cosmic goo into the universe and fertilized an infinite something. My name is Harmon. This is Harmontown.
Thank you for coming, everybody.
You're all gods. You are all also gods.
Let's thank DC Pearson, Kumail Nanjiani. Whoa.